Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Sunday afternoon. Joining us from the center, in some people might call it the Wells Fargo Center, but right now it's just the center in Philadelphia ahead of the Wizards-Sixers game today. It's Tim Bontemps.
Hello, guys.
Do you call it the center? Do you buy into the propaganda put forth by the Sixers and their frustrations with the naming rights?
I make sure to poke fun at them about it at minimum, at every chance I get.
And joining us from Memphis, where he's been for several days, getting ready to head back to Dallas, he was at the Grizzlies-Mavericks game on Saturday night, is Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners.
So we're doing this earlier in the day, so there's some stuff that's happened in the league today we won't know, just to recognize that. One thing we do know is that the Warriors won another big game on Saturday night, beating the Giannis Antetokounmpo-less Bucks in overtime. Nonetheless, it was another good win for the Warriors, who continue to play well at home and not well on the road, to say the least. But something interesting happened pregame. Steve Kerr was asked about a status update on Andrew Wiggins. And the Andrew Wiggins situation is something that, because it's a personal situation, hasn't been talked about. Everyone's given him his space, and that is appropriate. But it has now been gone on over a month, and Kerr has been periodically asked about it, and he's periodically given roughly the same answer, which is that he will be given his space, and when he's back, he's back. But he changed his verbiage a little bit on Saturday, and I don't know whether or not something has changed, or I don't know whether it's over being overblown, but he basically introduced the word if Wiggins returns. And so the thing about the Warriors is, we've talked about in this pod, all of their goals are still there for them, despite this preposterous 7-27 road record, or 7-28 or whatever it is. And they continue to be impressive at home and, you know, right there. But Bontemps, with respect to Wiggins and honoring that he's away because he's got something he's got to deal with, if this is an if with Wiggins, this is a guy who was vital to their playoff success and their run last year. Probably if there was a vote taken, he would have been second on the MVP list for the finals MVP last year. I don't know what to make of this, but I do know if they don't have Wiggins, my viewpoint of the Warriors changes significantly, even taking into account their home road issues.
Yeah. I mean, look, from the very beginning, when we, you know, I've said a bunch of times that, you know, I think that the Warriors are still my pick, despite how dysfunctional their season has been, despite the fact that they can't win a road game to come out of the West, because I just don't trust any of these other Western Conference teams. But at the same time, that's always been with the caveat that the Warriors need to be whole and they need to be healthy when the playoffs arrive, because they can't do this without Andrew Wiggins, who is their best, you know, at this point, their best wing defender. He's an incredibly durable player, plays, you know, 38, 40, 42 minutes a night at a premium position on the wing. And as I've talked about a bunch of times, when that five-man unit with Steph, Clay, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, and Kevon Looney is out there, that's been the best lineup in the league this season by a significant amount. And so if those guys are available, I think they've got a very good chance, even despite everything that's happened, of getting out of a pretty suspect Western Conference. But if Andrew Wiggins isn't there, the Warriors aren't doing that. And that, when I saw what Steve said yesterday, Saturday now, for people listening Monday morning, that was my first thought. It was like, wow, maybe this is going to end in Andrew Wiggins not being back. And obviously, as Steve Kerr said, he's got family, whatever exactly is going on with him personally, you know, things supersede basketball. But from a basketball perspective, it's one of the biggest stories in the league. Will Andrew Wiggins actually be back with the team at some point in time for the playoffs? Because if he's not, I think it pretty radically changes the outlook in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think the main thing that you hit on as far as his value to a playoff run is, he is a wing stopper. If they see Luka, he's guarding Luka. You know, if they see the Clippers, I'm guessing he's probably guarding Kawhi. We can go, you know, he's probably the guy on Durant. We can go on down the list, plus giving them 20-ish points per game. And then it's just a matter of, you take that out of the rotation and, you know, you start filling up those 35, 36 minutes. And it's rough, especially if you don't have full trust of Kuminga, which I think that's still kind of a developing thing as far as his trust. They have to play small a lot, and those small teams, man, there are some rough defensive groups out there, especially on the road. That's like, it's bizarre, the home road splits, but they are absolutely abysmal defensively on the road.
Defense 28th efficiency, 28th in defense on the road, 3 at home.
Yeah, that's so bizarre.
It's unheard of.
For a team that, not just a veteran team, but like a championship experience team, it's absolutely, I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it, but at this point, you can't just kind of wave it off. They are awful on the road, and they're going to have to find a way to continue that streak of series with a road playoff win, or you know, they'll be done by the end of April.
Here's what Steph said last night when he was asked about Wiggins: friend to friend, teammate to teammate, sending him support. Tough situation in terms of him being away for so long, but necessary. Life is bigger than basketball. Whenever he's ready to come back, and I'm sure he will, that's how he's built in terms of being available. And I know he's missing the vibe of being with us. So I don't want to parse that out, but it seems like Steph's position sounded a little bit mildly more optimistic. The other thing about Wiggins, he was having a relatively good season. He was shooting 40% from 3-point range on the most threes he's ever shot. I mean, he's only played 37 games, so it's not like it's a huge sample size. But we all know that he had dedicated himself to defense. And one of the reasons why he's so valuable defensively is because he's huge. He's 6'8", and I don't know what his wingspan is, but I'll bet it's around 7 feet. And so he's kind of like decided to start rebounding when he got to Golden State. It was kind of a weird situation where he was, you know, he kind of had these weird quotes last year. Like, I realized I could rebound. And his rebounding numbers still aren't great, but he has games where he is a real force there. So, I don't know. I don't know what to make of Steph's comments versus Kerr's comments. I just know that they need him. And I thought Jackson just looked it up. He does have a 7-foot wingspan based on his measurements, which doesn't surprise me because his arms are huge.
What else would you base a wingspan on it other than measurements?
The eye test. I was just guessing, having seen the man. I definitely think that of all the variables in the Western Conference, which there is a growing list of, like, you go right down, it's like every single team has something. Well, not every single, but a lot of them have something, from where you are with Ja, from Kevin Durant's injury to the general headspace of the Clippers. Every single team has
Luke some and sort Kyrie of- are dealing with injuries now. I mean,
yeah, Luka's injury.
Cat in Minnesota.
Luka's injury doesn't sound that severe, but he's obviously missing games. And now Kyrie has foot soreness that he missed.
He has right foot soreness that popped up. He says it was after he made a point to note that he played 41 minutes against the Pelicans, including the whole third and fourth quarter. felt a tweak
after
that.
I think he used the word unfortunate. Is that
he did? He did.
He said it was unfortunate I had to play 41 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's him making it pretty clear of, hey, the rest of the season is not going to be about, just grinding me down to the nub.
The basketball and hockey seasons are heating up, and baseball is just around the corner, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Make up for lost time. Go enjoy a game. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, is offering you $10 off your first $100 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP. Download or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Guys, it's all about confidence. Confidence knowing you'll be ready to go when your partner is. And confidence knowing you'll be able to go a few extra rounds when needed. Confidence is what you get with the chewables from BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. And now they also have Vardenafil, mint-flavored chewables, with the active ingredient in Levitra and Staxin. Blue Chew's tablets are a performance enhancement for the bedroom. and can help men gain extra confidence when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll get your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problems here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare them to ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from an extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com. And there's a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code HOOP at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code HOOP, to receive your first month free. I don't know what to make of that, McMahon. You were there with the team, but I rubbed my chin.
Well, I will say this in fairness to Kyrie. I was talking to one of the assistant coaches before the game. This is after Kyrie had been ruled out. And, you know, he mentioned that he thought it was a really kind of a significant gesture that Kyrie went to Memphis, period. That he didn't have to, you know, Kyrie, the excused absence Friday was to return to, you know, his home state in New Jersey, Najee Seabrooks, who's somebody who I believe he refers to as his cousin. I think they're just, you know, good friends. I'm not sure there's actual, blood relations there, but Najee Seabrooks was an anti-violence activist in Paterson, New Jersey, who was fatally shot by police. And so obviously a tragic situation, a very complicated situation that Kyrie went back to New Jersey for the funeral. And, you know, this assistant coach is basically saying, hey, you know, he's feeling something in his foot. He still came to Memphis, still was part of the team, you know, was very like enthusiastic and instructive of Jaden Hardy, the rookie who started at point guard by default. Again, just in fairness, I do want to note that that's something that was mentioned unprompted, in terms of they felt like he is part of things.
Yeah, I'm just saying the quote, you know, the unfortunate, yeah. You know, it was, he played those minutes because Luka had come out of the game, right? That was the.
Well, but he played, I want to say 42 against the Suns. Like they're playing him a lot of minutes, yeah. Because they're desperate to win games. But yes,
well, yeah.
The fact that Luka exited in the third, they basically left Kyrie out there the whole time because of that.
Well, I was going to say to that point, I mean, obviously we're doing this Sunday afternoon, so we'll see what happens on Sunday itself. But, you know, if the Lakers do win tonight, they're in a three-way tie with Minnesota and Dallas for seventh place in the West. And they're one loss ahead of the teams in 10th, 11th, and 12th. Like we keep talking about, the West is wide open down there in those play-in spots. And if you have a three-game losing streak or a three-game winning streak like the Lakers are currently on, you move four or five spots. And it's not inconceivable that if the Dallas has a bad week, they're not in a play-in tournament spot in a week.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a reason why these guys are playing these games. It's probably why Luka tried to play initially against New Orleans with the thigh bruise in the first place, like, or the thigh contusion or whatever. Because, right. Like, they need to win games. This isn't like you can just hang out and let the chips fall where they may at this point.
Right. Odd right, circumstances so, for his first, back to back in more than 3 months for sure.
Yeah. So, just into speaking to how tight the West is, Oklahoma City, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander came back from sore hip on Saturday. And I can't tell you how awful Oklahoma City looked when I was there. In Phoenix on Wednesday, the Durant sprained ankle game. I mean, they just looked awful. Now, granted, Jalen Williams and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander were out, but Shai comes back and 0% surprisingly drops 35. I mean, he practically averages 35, and they beat the Pelicans. And so, bam, right there with that win, they move basically into a tie with Utah, New Orleans, and New Orleans for the 10th spot because they all tied in the loss column. So
maybe the biggest factor here down the stretch is how many games Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plays. Cause if he's out there, they they tend to win games, especially over the last couple months. And if they keep winning games, you know, I think there's every reason that they should be in the play-in, one of these four play-in tournament spots, if Che is out there for the majority of the games. We'll see if
he's going to. That's the thing. So Che has missed multiple games with a hip injury, and he was in health and safety for a couple of days. So the Oklahoma City has actually lost 6 of 10.
Mm-hmm.
But they are tied for third, or tied for 10th, and one game in the loss column out of 7th. So, again, that's another variable. New Orleans, Zion announced last week, at least 2 more weeks, probably slightly longer if goes well. So it's all jammed up in there. But that you brought
what
up.
Was that? I did just get a memo from Bricktown. They are asking that we refer to him as all NBA lock, Che Gilgeous-Alexander. I think some people in Bricktown would like that just to be kind of etched in stone, and then perhaps they can make some decisions.
Well, if they get into the play-in tournament, I think Shea's going to make all NBA for sure.
Does the accounting office at the
that's a good question
at the Thunder? At the Thunder, they put that up too.
I don't think he has escalators in his deal, but I could be wrong.
Oh, you don't? Okay, well, I didn't look. I was just guessing.
I will try to check that right now.
I know who does.
Mm.
I know who does.
Mm. Who would that
John
be?
John Morant. John Morant has escalators in his deal.
An all NBA thing that would turn that into a supermax, huh?
I believe it's a $37 million difference or something like that.
Certainly don't think that he has helped his cause.
There yeah, also, well, Shea's actually already into his extension too, so it doesn't okay, impact things.
You're right. Let me just say the voting for all NBA, the all NBA guards is going to be
difficult, very hard.
And not just because of the talent level, but because of games missed.
Well, but we were talking about this earlier off before we started this. I think you've got four locks. Luka, Dame, and just no order. Luka, Dame, SGA, Donovan Mitchell. I think you got four guard locks. Jaylen Brown's got a hell of a case. De'Aaron Fox has a hell of a case. You know, and if there's going to be difficult decisions made, I think games played, especially considering the circumstances of why some games aren't played, is a logical place to
be. Right. If Steph doesn't get hurt again, he's making all NBA.
That's what I think.
42 games now, and Booker's at 40. That's right. Those are both tough.
Booker, I think, will have a harder time. If Steph plays the vast majority of the rest of the regular season, he's making all NBA. I'm voting for all NBA.
I don't want to cause an argument on this pod. Oh, no. But I have been told that there's a threshold that if you miss more than that games, I don't care if you're averaging 50 and 75, you ain't making it. So,
well, that's
so, you know, I've been told that. I've been told.
Here comes Eeyore. You know,
you're conflating two different awards there, Pally. That's what I would say. All NBA is, I consider all NBA to be a most outstanding award in terms of my voting for it. So I look at that as if you there's more of a variable, or there's more flexibility for missed games for me for all NBA than there are for season long awards, especially for most valuable player, because part of accruing value, as we've talked about before, is playing games and accruing value on the court.
Yeah. Whereas, but isn't to me, all NBA is about, okay, I know NBA the word is valuable.
More about I think all NBA is more about getting the best players.
I think it's about who had the best seasons. It has to be about that.
Well, no, but that's they wouldn't right. Have but it that's
every season.
I agree. But when I'm saying best, I'm talking. Part of my best for that is most outstanding.
Value. You give more forgiveness for participation ribbon issues in all NBA.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking
all
of
I
that,
know is I voted for a certain large gentleman from Philadelphia when he played 32 games, because I felt he was a rookie of the year. No offense, Malcolm Brogdon. And oh boy, did I hear about that. And I heard about it last year, I believe, when I might've discussed the number of games a certain player played.
Bontemps, I'm surprised the anti-Joker campaign manager didn't call for a, we don't say emergency pods, an unscheduled pod when Joker's triple-double undefeated run ended in San Antonio of all places. I was waiting.
It ended at the same time as Joel Embiid was having his latest dominant performance of the season, going for 39-7-4 and shooting 13-for-20 and hitting the game winning jumper with a second to go to beat a truly horrendous Portland team on Friday. By the way, Portland, as a quick aside, Portland does not deserve to make the play-in tournament. That was just they. This game on Friday, the Sixers were losing the entire game. They're down by 20 in the first half. They had no business winning that game, and they won it because Joel Embiid is awesome, and Portland just completely
The possessions in that game that Portland had down the stretch, so I questioned if they were even trying to score.
It was so bad.
I questioned whether they were even making an honest attempt. I questioned it. All I'm going to say is 2 years ago, I voted.
They went back in the last March mode.
Hey, listen, if Dame ends up with Victor Wembanyama on his team, that would look pretty good. But they got a better shot at that than the playoffs.
2 years ago, I voted for Jokic for MVP. Last year, I voted for Embiid. I stand on both votes. And I also stand on my vote is for Embiid for rookie of the year. I stand on that. All right. I'm just saying.
This
all NBA situation is going to get dicey, especially when there's money involved, and we've got some issues with games played. I'm probably going to vote for Steph Curry right now. If I had to vote, I would. I'm not against it. I'm just saying that I have been scolded for not taking account in games played when it comes to that. I'm just going to remind everybody
Feathers have been ruffled. Noted. Wendy's feathers have been appropriately ruffled. Hey,
he's also built five straw men and knocked them all down in the past 5 minutes. So
let me steer this thing back toward the West playing picture. And another guy who games played could be a conversation for his all NBA candidacy. And that's LeBron. Now, given what the Lakers are doing, I don't have his medical info. I would say it is certainly much more likely that he will return this season than I think I anticipated. A lot of people probably anticipated when he went down just because, look, I thought they were going to slide back down towards 13. And here they are actually pretty damn well positioned despite his absence.
The information I have on LeBron, and I know this is vague and I have to leave it vague, he is trying everything he possibly can with that foot. He is going under every rock in terms of treatment, in terms of consulting with specialists, everything he possibly can. Yes, it's because he's competitive and he wants to try to get back out on the court. I think his foot had been bothering him before he had the injury. And he played through it because LeBron plays through injuries and because he was trying to get the record because he was trying to carry this team. But I also think he realizes he can see everything we can see. He sees the team is vastly improved. He sees perceived weakness ahead of them in the West. I don't know if it's fair, but if you're trying, if you think you can get the 7 seed or the 6 seed and your opposite number might be the Grizzlies without Ja Morant, I could sense that urgency too.
Or honestly, the Grizzlies with Ja Morant, but just completely knocked off their axis and no Brandon Clark and perhaps no Steven Adams. Or the other option, I think you're about to say, is the Sacramento Kings, who, hey, they are having a phenomenal season. I just mentioned De'Aaron Fox is an All-NBA candidate. Sabonis certainly should be very seriously considered for that third center spot. They're not going to strike fear in any of these teams in the playoffs just because you look at that team and, we've talked about the 16-year playoff drought. Outside of Harrison Barnes, precious little playoff experience on that roster. And, they're a team that they're a bad defensive team. It's just the best offensive team statistically in NBA history.
So if the Lakers beat the Knicks Sunday night, I don't know whether or not the Knicks, I don't think you're going to have Jalen Brunson for that game. He has a foot injury. This is worrisome from the Knicks. They've been pretty healthy for most of the season with their top players. I know Mitchell Robinson missed some time, but Jalen Brunson missed a few games. And then he was playing the other night in Sacramento and he was hot. He'd come back from a couple of days off. he had scored 19 points in 19 minutes. I mean, he was on his way to potentially another 40-point game. He drives the lane, and he doesn't, to my knowledge, turn his foot or land on anybody. He just drives the lane, and he goes under the basket, and he just stops and winces. And that, you know, the Knicks are being vague about what the injury is, but that's worrisome when you see a guy.
It's pretty reminiscent. It was pretty reminiscent of the guy we just talked about, LeBron James, who did this basically the same thing. Didn't turn his foot, didn't do anything, just went up and down, and then was like, my foot hurts. And it looked like the same thing with Jalen. It's obviously a real concern, like you said, for the Knicks. Huge
problem. Well, in LeBron's case, he fell to the floor and said, I heard a pop or felt the pop. That was.
Well, I know, but my point is there was no, like, you didn't see him like with Kevin Durant, like twist his ankle or something. It just was up and down, and then he was hurt.
That's right.
A little LeBron related nugget that I just find amusing. You know, Desmond Bane missed all that time because of a pretty significant toe injury this year. And so when he came back, his shoes were very important. They needed to find shoes that have as hard a bottom as possible. So Desmond Bane, who famously had that heated extended interaction with LeBron a couple seasons ago, is now wearing LeBron's. And I asked, like, did you wear those when you played the Lakers? No one, you know, the pride factor here. And he was like, yeah. And he said, Bron came up to him and asked him if he needed it to get any more, just to let him know.
The needle. Well, interestingly, so LeBron's shoes this year, the LeBron 21s, I think, or 20 or 21s, they've gone to, and I am not an expert in shoes, so we'll have Nick DePaula can explain to you or people, but LeBron's shoes have gone to a much lesser material version. Some people have joked that they look like the Kobe shoes that are extremely popular amongst NBA players. You know, shoes are designed a year out, and a year ago, Kobe's shoes were discontinued because there was a an impasse with the family. They have since come to terms, and Kobe's are back being produced. But LeBron's shoes are much, like, they're not as high. They're much less material, and not surprisingly, I have been told that this year's edition of the LeBron shoes have been the best sellers in the last about decade, since I think the LeBron 11s is what somebody who works in the shoe industry told me. Part of the reason, because LeBron had these clodhoppers, and they're just, you know, they were great for him, but they're not good for not as good for, certainly if you're not playing basketball and you're just wearing them out in the streets. But it is interesting this year, the LeBron shoes have actually much smaller than they were.
Hard bottoms. Hey, I found some other, you want some more, you want me to get my full Nick DePaul on? I got some other sneaker news.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Coming out of Memphis. This was a thing. Kyrie Irving, when he did show up to shoot around, obviously didn't play, but he showed up to shoot around, and he was wearing these shoes I didn't recognize. I asked him, and I asked Apollo. They were from, you remember Langston Galloway, former NBA player? They're from his Ethics shoe brand. They were the LG2, and Kyrie told me he just wanted to show him some love. Kyrie's very determined and committed to supporting Black business owner. So he wanted to show Langston Galloway some love for his shoe brand. So he wasn't sure if he'd wear them in games, but I'm curious to see if this really kind of kicks off Kyrie's shoe free agency since the divorce. Seriously, since the divorce with Nike, he's been wearing Kyrie's, but he covers up the swoosh and tape, and usually write a social justice message over the tape. And, you know, obviously bitter divorce with Nike. Kyrie shoe free agency for the DePaulas of the world, man. It's going to be a big thing. I'm going to have to get my little, you know, like when Luka was going through the negotiations, and I had to get my little pregame snaps in.
You don't even need to do that, because the fine photographers from the NBA and Getty Images take shoe photos every single game. You can see them by halftime. Langston Galloway, by the way, was just a part of the Team USA crew that qualified for the World Cup. So he is still playing, but just not in the NBA. To go back to the Lakers, so I don't know what's going to happen with the Knicks. I don't know. They're probably not going to have Brunson. That's worrisome. They've lost three in a row coming into this game. They just played Saturday against the Clippers in a game that the Clippers won. The Clippers are winning some games finally, and they're getting some momentum. They're in sixth place, I think. one of the teams that's right there. But anyway, so let's say the Lakers are able to win that game.
They're a half game ahead of the Warriors in fifth.
Okay, so they're in fifth. So the Clippers, you know, you're right, Bontemps. You have 4 good days and you jump 4 spots. The Lakers are having good days. So if the Lakers win tonight, it would be their 4th straight win. They have already won 7 out of 10. And if they beat the Knicks tonight, now that I've said this 6 different times, I'm sure the Knicks will win. But if the Lakers win tonight, they will get back to 500, which they have not been at basically since October.
Which is an accomplishment in the Western Conference right now.
Listen, I said this when they made the trades. I felt that they had a top 6 roster because at the time, since they started 2-10, they were like 5 games over 500, and 5 games over 500 in the West right now would have you in like 5th place anyway. So if they get to this win tonight, they'd be 8 games over 500 since starting 2-10, and they are trending in the right direction. And then in a remarkable situation on Friday, it was against the Raptors, who are struggling as they're out on the West Coast. Darvin Ham left Anthony Davis on the bench in the 4th quarter because the team that he had out there was playing so well. D'Angelo Russell came back from missing 6 games with an ankle injury. He had a 28-point game. Dennis Schroeder, a guy who has at times been invaluable and times been like a total also-ran, right now is having a good stretch. He had 23 off the bench. Jared Vanderbilt continues to be a significant playmaker. Rui Hachimura doesn't contribute every game, but he contributes like 2 out of every 3 games, and he's a bench player. Like, they don't have to have him every game, but he is helping them. He comes off the bench, can defend multiple positions. And Austin Reeves, a guy who's now been around for a while, is in a hot streak.
We've got another campaign that Wendy's managing. He's managing the Rob Pelinka Executive of the Year campaign now. Keep it going, Wendy.
I'm not. Well, you're managing the Kyrie Irving PR campaign.
Let me tell you. Hey, that's a hell of a tougher job. I don't know. I didn't think about that one. Which one of those is tougher?
Anyway, the Lakers are showing some interesting life here. And Anthony Davis, he wasn't even really needed on Friday. He had an okay game, but obviously he'll be needed going forward. He's playing great. I think he just turned 30 years old this weekend. The Lakers are a real team. They're a real team that has to deal with the terrible record that they had early in the season. But if you start to look since January 1st, you're talking about a team that's more formidable. I don't know what happens with LeBron. I don't know what percentage he's able to play if he comes back.
God, their schedule is so weak. It's amazing.
Their schedule is favorable.
Is it the weakest in the league now?
I'll double check that right now. But I mean, here are their upcoming games: at Pelicans, at Rockets, home for Dallas, home for Orlando, home for Phoenix without Durant, home for the Thunder. I mean, that's a trickier stretch. Then they play the Bulls twice. They play the Wolves, Rockets, Jazz, and then Clippers, Suns, Jazz. So, I mean, there's
– and then I got a
couple Rockets games. Pelicans are a disaster.
Yeah, the Jazz down the stretch might be
– the Bulls. 2 games with the Bulls. They haven't played the Bulls yet. Right. Oh, my God.
Right.
By the way, the Kyrie
Lakers PR Lakers is second half of a back-to-back with the Thunder. So, with the Clippers, Lakers back-to-back for OKC. So, maybe Shea doesn't play in that game.
I was just going to say the Kyrie PR and Pelinka Executive of the Year campaign, Twindy, we might be able to join forces this summer going into next year.
Well, listen, you cannot evaluate Rob Pelinka's effort at midseason without evaluating his effort that he put them together with.
By the way, another quick little thing on that front. Kyrie was wearing a South Oak Cliff High School hat after shoot around, and people in Dallas.
Look at this guy. No, Bontemps, listen, this guy is cataloging every stitch of clothing.
Well, I mean, these things are notable, but no, South Oak, like I came up covering high schools for the Dallas Morning News. You remember Darrell Arthur? I've covered Darrell Arthur winning state championships at South Oak Cliff. They just won football state championships in back-to-back years. Massive deal. The first Dallas ISD school to win a state championship since the Friday Night Lights Carter team that got stripped. And before that, it's like a 50-year thing. Anyways. So, you know, got to talk a little bit about that. And then I did make a very polite offer. I said, hey, if you're around in the fall, I can help you find some great high school football games to go to. He smiled, but didn't take me up on that offer.
Bontemps, look at this. Friedel, his buddy show with Friedel.
I've seen this story. I've seen this movie before. Canceled. I'll just put it that way. It's Oscar Day. I've seen this movie before.
Wait, am I the goofball who gets killed 15 minutes into the horror film?
I saw it. There was, you know, at the start of the year, Kyrie and Nick were going to go make a buddy cop movie, and by the end, it all fell apart. And this is going to be the same thing here too.
Just offering, if he's around in the fall, you know, and he wants to find high school football games, I'd be happy to help him. Be happy to help.
Do you have any high school teams you need to call? You need to shout out, Bontemps?
No, but I do want to circle back though, because we sort of skipped past them. I want to talk more about the Kings. Kings had a huge win. Yeah. Kings had a huge win on Saturday. Neck and neck game with the Suns. They beat the Suns in Phoenix. They in Memphis with Memphis's win against Dallas on Saturday night too. They're both four losses up on the Suns with 16 games to go. No Kevin Durant. I think chances are pretty good now. Mm-hmm. Those two teams are going to be in the 2-3 spots. And look, we've talked a lot about all these teams. Oh, you know, people eyeing the chance to get the Kings, you know, possible, you know, whether it's the Warriors or all these teams. Oh, look, you could play the Kings or you could play the Suns in the first round for weeks now, right? But if I'm the Sacramento Kings and I'm looking at this situation, and all these teams in the play-in tournament are deeply flawed and losing games all the time, and the Memphis Grizzlies have all sorts of things going on with their team between injuries and other things, there's a path for the Sacramento Kings, who have not made the playoffs in 16, 17 years, to be in the conference finals in 2 months. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying I'm predicting it to happen. But like, this team has the best offense in the league. De'Aaron Fox, as McMahon has said multiple times, the runaway winner of the Cojones Factor Award for the season. Mm-hmm. He's been unbelievable. Mike Brown has done a fantastic job. And as we all know, when that team gets in the playoffs, the Kings are going to have an absolutely insane home court advantage in that arena.
Yeah, the beam making the fans only thing getting lit.
The fans are going to be fans. The fans there deserve to make the playoffs. They're going to be off.
What a great arena.
Hook.
It is a great arena.
It's great.
Honestly, it's a cool little downtown area.
It didn't cost $2 billion to build. Maybe it did. It's not like the other arenas. Well,
that's great. It's right downtown.
I remember writing all about it because I was intensely covering the Seattle, mm-hmm. Sacramento wars. It's a very smart design of the building. If you've ever been there, like the way that, like, Steve Ballmer, how many times have we heard him say 51 rows, the wall, 51 rows? He keeps having press conferences about this arena that they're building, the Intuit Dome, which is probably costing four times the amount in deals being built in LA.
I just heard a whole lot about the toilets.
Yes, that's right.
Ballmer's big on the toilets.
Very excited about the toilets. But they have the way that arena is designed, like one end of the arena, like kind of effectively does that, and they have this open space back there, and now they've got this beam. I mean, how much did the beam cost? Beam costs $100,000. I don't know what it cost.
no idea, but it was worth every penny.
But the marketing, like they're doing a good job. Bontemps, you talked about this game last night. This is an important game for the Suns. This, you know, you've heard what I've said. I don't think that the loss of Durant is a devastating blow, assuming he's able to recover from the injury and get back to himself, because I do think all of their goals are out in front of them. All their flaws are still going to be
there.
Yes,
again, if Kevin Durant comes back healthy, the Suns will probably be
not
okay.
Repeating that argument. When to get back to your right. point, we're not repeating
my
that
point
argument.
Is,
I just wanted to make a joke about that.
In fairness, they were about to play a set of games here that were pretty important. They just come through a relatively light schedule, even though they were on the road. They had Kings at home on Saturday. Then they have the Bucks. What day is that? The Bucks.
Monday.
Bucks is Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday, right.
Tuesday.
Bucks play the Kings
Monday. Monday, the Warriors play, the Suns play at the Warriors Monday, and then Tuesday, the Bucks. So Kings, Warriors, Bucks in three games in 4 days. It would have been really good to have Durant for that game. And I suspect that if they had Durant in Saturday night's game, that they probably would have won. Because down at the end of the stretch, the Kings were literally triple teaming Devin Booker. Mm-hmm. He would come off a screen and he would be double teamed. There'd be a third guy standing 2 feet away. And he was throwing the ball to Torrey Craig and Ish Wainwright, and they weren't making the shots, which is what Bontemps' point to me was last week.
Really? Because we got a text last night about Ish making a clutch three. How many threes he make in that game?
He did make a clutch three, but unfortunately he missed his other six shots. Your points that you guys made last Saturday or whatever last week exactly came true on Saturday night. My point is that that's not the way it's going to be.
I know, but we're not talking about the Kings again. We keep disrespecting the Kings.
Okay, fine.
I will say this real quick. Bontemps Hewitt, you had the Suns passing the Grizzlies. I'm not so sure that'll happen. I'm not saying I think the Grizzlies will finish strong. I think they'll finish in the three seed, though, because I think they'll at least kind of
– No, I'm saying water.
You think the Suns are four.
No, I think because Memphis and Sacramento have this four game in the loss column lead. That's what I was saying. I think that was a huge combination of games.
Right. Okay.
Memphis coming back, you know, winning that Golden State game, coming back and winning that game against Dallas, Sacramento beating the Suns last night. You know, look, the Warriors, we just talked about it. They're incredible at home. Good chance Phoenix loses that game. We'll see who plays in this back-to-back for both teams against the Bucks. I mean, if they drop those two games, I don't think there's any chance that they're getting up into the top three.
When I was looking at that, I didn't think the Mavericks were not going to have Luka and Kyrie for that game.
Right. No, for sure.
I also,
but the Kings, this is open for the Kings. It's open Suns, for them.
The Suns have another game with the Kings, although it's in Sacramento. Anyway, the Kings have the number one offense, and they've had it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the highest scoring seasons in the history of the NBA, and they're number one. And when they move into clutch time, De'Aaron Fox is so comfortable.
Takes over.
They don't even really have to work that hard to get him good shots. And he's so comfortable. It was kind of interesting the way he was playing against Chris Paul last night. And yet victimizing Chris Paul and just getting 17 footers whenever he wanted them.
It was Chris Paul in him, huh?
He gets to the mid-range. You got trouble. And the reason everyone's sort of scared of him is because he's so fast that when he gets any space, the game plan is get back and protect. And so he's just he had been developing that push shot earlier in his career. To sort of overcome his size differential. Now he's got that mid range, man. They get easy shots really, really easily. And look, Mike Brown had it. Now they are not a good defensive team. They have won 8 out of their last 9 games. In those 9 games, they rank 26th in defense. They are still not getting it done at the defensive end, but Mike Brown,
22nd for the season. Oh no, that's
Mike Brown
worse than that.
I think they're 26th.
They're 25th. 25th for 25th. The season. Yeah.
Mike Brown had a game plan for last night's game. Mike Brown knows how to game plan within playoff series. They have some challenges. Teams are going to go at Sabonis, Bontemps. But they got a lot going for them.
You know what they have too? They have an identity. All these other teams, these teams in the play-in mix, like they're all in flux, right? Dallas just traded for Kyrie. They're trying to figure out what the hell they are. The Clippers, we never know what they are from day to day. We talked about the Wiggins situation with Golden State. The Lakers have been all over the place all season.
The Suns, Durant.
Right. Suns just traded for Kevin Durant.
Cat back.
Right. Cat will be back at some point. All those teams are in flux, right? Sacramento clearly has some flaws, but the Kings are what they are, and they know exactly what they are, and they're very confident in what they are. And that can carry you a long way. And like I said, I'm not saying we're going to have Sacramento Kings games on ESPN at the end of May in the Western Conference Finals, but for all the time we've spent talking about all these other teams as a draw, you want to line up with Sacramento in the first round. Like that's who you want to get. Like it's just as open for Sacramento, which, you know, we all said back in October, if they're in the play-in, everyone there will be thrilled. Now they're going to maybe be the 2 seed and have a real chance to make it deep into the playoffs.
We thought Mark Spears was crazy when he
out of his
boldly
mind.
Declared, like no questions asked, that the Suns were a playoff team. Spears wouldn't have even considered them being a
The Kings wouldn't have been saying they're going to be the 2 seed.
By the way, just to put De'Aaron Fox's clutch dominance and perspective, leads the league with 171 clutch points. Jimmy Butler second with 133. And Fox is doing that, shooting better than 54% from the floor. I mean, he's just efficiently filling it up.
He gets to his spots so easily. It's scary. You're like,
he also had a game winner in Orlando from like a step over half court. Just a calm pull.
I mean, I don't even know who that's going to be an end of season award this year for the first time. I don't even know who the second place person is. I mean, De'Aaron Fox has to win in a romp.
Yeah.
Jokic is the second place person. Okay.
Ooh, back on the Joker. The
watch defense, side. Baby.
Here's the list of teams with the most road wins this season. Warriors. Boston Celtics, 21. The
most standings.
Boston Celtics, 21. Milwaukee Bucks, 20. Those are two pretty good teams, right? Mm-hmm. Celtics, 21 and 12. Bucks, 20 and 13. They just took a loss on Saturday night. Philly.
I know who's next.
Philly just came back from an awesome road trip where they went 4-1 despite having some injuries. Only loss was in Dallas on the second night of back-to-back. Sacramento Kings, 19-13. The only Western Conference team with a winning road record. Wow. Sacramento Kings. Now, you can take a shot at them for their lack of experience, and that's rightly so. You can take a shot at them for maybe their giddiness over just being in the playoffs, because the majority of that roster has very little to no playoff.
I'm not taking a shot at a team being giddy to make the playoffs after 16 years in the freaking wilderness.
Yeah, no question. I agree, but no you question. Can argue that that's going to, you know, if you're going to argue against them having a long run. When you have when you are six games over 500 on the road as a young team, now maybe some of this can be, you can point to the fact that the West in general is not strong.
Well, but there's nobody else in the West that's got.
Well, that's the thing. The West isn't strong. I mean, the West is as bad as it's probably ever been this year. But that's the whole point. Sacramento is good, and they've been good all season, and everybody's been waiting, including me. I'll be the first to say it. For them to drop off, right? We kept waiting for the drop off. When are they gonna I would have thought they would have been more likely to do what's happened in New Orleans than what New Orleans has done. Now, obviously, New Orleans has had some injuries, but New Orleans was in second place not long ago, and people were hailing them as a championship contender. And now they're probably not going to make the play-in. And Sacramento's just kept chugging along. Kevin De'Aaron Fox win them clutch game after clutch game, and they're sitting here now. In second, you know, it tied for second with Memphis, and it's all open for them. It's just really, it's one of the more unbelievable stories we've seen in the NBA in a long time. That like Sacramento's got a real chance to make a run this year.
So they won their 40th game last night.
This is going to be my trivia question. Say, you
remember when the fan came out of Summer League, out of the Sacramento Summer League, whatever they call that, the California League. And there was that video of the fans saying something along the lines of, "We're getting 40 wins this year, baby."
Well, this is our trivia question of the week.
Trivia. Go ahead. Trivia. Winning is an everyday mindset. And on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Now it's time for a Hoop Collective trivia.
The Sacramento Kings have had 20 coaches in 38 years. How many coaches have won 40 games, and who are they for the Kings?
I already know the answer, so I'm
going to let you guess. Is it just one?
It's Rick Adelman and Mike Brown. That's the answer.
Duh, Mike Brown. Yeah.
It's an out two.
There you go.
So wow. Does that mean that they've only had two coaches that have had, that have given them winning records? I guess if you miss the playoffs for 16 straight years, you're not.
I'm going to double check that right now to make sure. I am nearly certain that is true. Cause I think the only times they've been in Sacramento that they've had winning records were basically that stretch with Rick Adam.
So I remember Paul Westfall, when he first got there, his first year, like a really good year, they didn't win, must not have won 40 games.
So, yeah, they made the playoffs twice before Adelman got there with losing records.
Wow.
And after Adelman left, yeah, they haven't had a winning record since 2006.
That is absolutely amazing.
They have won over that.
First off, 20 coaches in 38 years is wild, considering Adelman was there for like seven.
Yeah. Gary St. Jean had some 39 win seasons.
Yeah, they won 39 a couple times. They won 38 a couple times. They never.
We're going to win 40 this year, baby.
This is the third time in about 30 years that they'll have made the playoffs without Rick Adelman coaching the team. And he made the playoffs every single year he coached the team.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing. Which, again, they're an unbelievable fan base. I'm thrilled for them. And, like, they got a real shot, you know? Like, we keep talking about all these West teams that just
a real shot
to win a couple
what?
Rounds in the playoffs.
To do some damage in the West.
They can win a series or two.
I mean, if they win a series, it's – I mean, I already said they'd have a parade if they made
it. I mean, look, like, if they play Dallas in the first round, I mean, McMahon's been at those games. Like, there's no reason they can't beat Dallas in a series.
Well, that'll be – forget Lawler's laws, like, first 150.
It's going to be Lawler's law times two.
Yeah. Lawler, hey. My man Ralph got out at the right time. Is that Lawler's law thing? Ain't no more, buddy.
Sure is. But yeah, if they play Golden State without Wiggins, if they play Minnesota, if they play Dallas, heck, if they play the Clippers, they could beat Lawler's any of those law. Teams in a series.
Lawler's law, by the way, was the first team to 100 wins, and he would call for it in games.
Coined by the great time, former Clippers announcer, Ralph Lawler.
Ralph Lawler, and, that's right.
And he was often talking about the opposing teams during most of his time, but okay.
And he usually went wrong about that.
It wasn't wrong. Yeah. So the Kings are a fascinating team.
The West is just so fascinating because the top three teams in the West, Denver, Sacramento, and Memphis, mm-hmm. all have real questions about their ability to make a deep run, which you never see. Like, you generally, the teams that are in the top three in the conference, they're the teams that are going to make the finals. In the East, like, nobody's saying anybody other than mm-hmm. Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly is making the finals. There's no debate about that. It's just which of those teams is going to win.
When I've been allowed to watch Denver play, they're very impressive. They're very impressive. So...
yeah, that's like we've talked about. Let's see him make the run. Like they it's all set up for these teams to make runs. It's all sitting there.
All right. McMahon, you got to cover a game. I mean, McMahon, you got to fly. Bontemps, you got to cover a game. Will the NCAA tournament selection committee have the guts to give Kent State an 11 or 12 seed? 32 in, I'm calling it right now. 32 in the RPI. I want to see an 11 or 12 from Kent State in this next couple hours. Congratulations to Golden Flashes. 28 wins. Going to the NCAA tournament.
Only Brian rooted for his football team, McMahon, instead of rooting for Ohio State to stomp them whenever they play.
What exactly is a Golden Flash?
It's not a good nickname.
I'm a little concerned about what that implies.
their mascot.
What's a mean green?
A green that's mean, you doofus.
It's I think it's a bacterial infection.
Is McMahon aware of North Texas being in the tournament?
They're not in the tournament. They lost in the conference USA semis.
Well, there you go. I'm seeing if you paid attention.
Hold on, buddy. After winning a school record 26 games this season, great job by Grant McCaslin in Denton, America over the last few years.
If I give
Grant
you
McCaslin's
a blind
going to be the coach there much longer.
If I give you the blind resume of a team that was 32 in the RPI, I know the RPI is, And
we are not going to we are not, talk we are about not the gonna, NBA. That's right. We are not going to do NCAA tournament selection show pre-talk that comes out Monday morning.
I'm hoping that they get sent to Des Moines so I can go see him play. All right.
Just using his platform. He's got a lot of influence. He just wants to lobby.
It's a lot of influence when the podcast campaign comes out 12 hours after the.
Yeah, the Golden Flash selection campaign.
Yeah, well, have some guts and give them an 11, Steve. They're probably going to get a 13. All right. Thank you, Bontemps. Thank you, McMahon. Thank you, Jackson, our producer. Thank you for listening to Hoop Collective. We'll talk to you later this week.
Adios, amigos.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.